Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Mountain Baptist Church. Take your psalm books and turn to song 412. Song 412 in your psalm books. We'll sing Onward Christian Soldiers. If you would stand, we'll sing song 412.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Cross of Jesus going on before.
And let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just want to thank you, God, for our church. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for just giving us the opportunity to gather here, do your work with soul winning. And I pray, Lord, now that you would just help us, Lord, to have hearts to hear and to obey your word. We love you, for it's in Jesus' name we ask all of it. Amen. All right, you may be seated and take your Mountain Baptist songbooks, Mountain Baptist psalms, hymns, and spiritual songbooks, and turn to page number 4. We'll sing Psalm 67 on page number 4.
God God, be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. The nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
Amen. So welcome back to Mountain Baptist Church on this Sunday evening here. And get some announcements, but let's get the soul winning numbers for the week. Did we have salvations during the week? I think we did, right? One on Thursday. Three on Saturday. Yeah, I just talked to you about that. How you stole my doors and stuff. No, I'm just kidding. Four during the week. Was there any others during the week? And then today, I know, Brother Anthony, you guys had one. Was there any others? Two? Oh, praise the Lord. Where was I at? Four, five, six, seven? To any others? Okay. Good job with the soul winning. Did we finish the item? Did we get to those apartments up there? Okay. So maybe next week if it's nice. Or whenever. And then as far as announcements go, starting a new series tonight on devils or angels and devils. So I was going to do a sermon on it, but there's just a lot of information to hit. So instead of my sermon being like 2 hours long, it'll be like an hour and a half, you know, and then it'll be like a bunch of those. No, I'm just kidding. Kind of. No, but... So I don't know how long this series is going to be. It's really going to be whenever I feel like I've hit all the information on it. But starting that tonight, we're still going through the book of 1 Samuel on Wednesday. So Lord willing, everything will be the same this coming Wednesday. And then regional soul winning times, just be on the lookout there on the church group when it comes to times, locations, and everything throughout the week. We do have the soul winning marathon coming up this Saturday. So if you can make it out to that, we're going to meet up at the Denny's on 68. So the exit 1, 68. Meet up there around 9 o'clock. And then we're going to go up to Kingwood. What are you doing, James? So we'll meet up at Kingwood after that. Go out soul winning. And then we have on the list here, we have upcoming events. We have the women's prayer meeting on the 18th, the men's prayer meeting on the 23rd, and Bible chapter memory is Jonah chapter 1 for the month, and then John 21:25 is our memory verse for the week. We got the birthdays, and then on the pregnancy list there, be in prayer for Alyssa Ford, and... then Anastasia, Tabby, and Crystal. So on all the pregnancy there, all the pregnancies. I think that's about all I have for announcements that I can think of. Offering boxes in the back there if you want to give a tithe or an offering. The mother baby rooms for the mothers and babies only. And And David, you're reading tonight. Yep. David's going to be reading Hebrews chapter 1 after we do one more song.
All right, take your psalm books and turn to Song 204. Song 204 in your psalm books. We'll sing Songs in the Mountains. Song 204.
There are songs in the mountains, there are songs in the vale. Hearts may sing in the daytime and when night shades prevail. Oh, then sing when the birds sing or when storm clouds are low. For the saints can rejoice while God's blessings bestows. So I'll sing, 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 for I'm happy in Jesus. There's a song in my soul. There will come days of sadness, there may come times of need. But the Savior is with me, he's my shepherd indeed. For he bears all my burdens and he comforts my heart. He is here when I need him, he will never depart. So I'll sing, 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 sing. There's a song in my soul, but like songs of the worldlings do not last through the night, and the joy of the sinners often changes to fright. But the heart is of Eden in the soul of God's own is the gift of the Savior, with his presence be known. So I'll sing, 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 for I'm happy in Jesus. There's a song in my soul. I've a spirit to comfort and to teach and to guide. I've a Father to hear me, let whatever betide. And my High Priest forever takes my part at the throne. So I'll sing on my journey, for I'm never alone. So I'll sing, 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 for I'm happy in Jesus. There's a song in my soul.
All right, if you would take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter 1 in your Bibles, and we'll have Brother David come and read that for us.
Hebrews chapter 1, if you found your place, amen. And the Bible reads, God, who has sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For under which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. Now the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But under the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come back to your house. Pray that you fill pastor with your spirit. Help us all to be edified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So you're there in Hebrews chapter 1. Like I said, I'm starting a series called Angels and Devils. And this is part one. And you probably heard the old phrase, who, what, where, when, why, you know. And so I'm going to be kind of answering tonight the what and the when. You know, what are angels? And, like, when did they basically come on the scene? You know, like, what, when were they created? That type of thing. And so, and when it comes to this series, just know that basically there's going to be things that just aren't there. We just don't know. Okay, so what I'm going to be hitting on is what we do know, what the Bible does teach about when it comes to this, and not going into the realm of just extra-biblical type of doctrine when it comes to angels and devils and things like that. They do exist, and if you remember, the Sadducees, who did not believe that there was a resurrection, also didn't believe that there was a spirit or an angel. But the Pharisees confessed both, right? They confessed that those things. So basically, there were people back in Jesus' day that didn't believe that the angels existed. They didn't believe that there was even a spirit. And so, but what are angels? Well, go to Psalm 104, and keep your finger here. Actually, just stay there in Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to read Psalm 104 and verse 4. It says, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flaming fire? Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7 says, And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? We know that angels are spirits, or they're, you know, they have a spirit, but they're spirits that are ministering spirits. And the thing is that I'm going to be getting into more of the why, you know, what were they created for, in a different sermon. But that these angels are spirits. And so we're dealing with a spiritual realm. And we're dealing with a creation, and I'm going to be getting into, you know, the fact that they were created. But we're dealing with a creation that's a heavenly creation. So you think about the animals and everything that was made here on the earth. These are creatures, or these are creation. This is creations of God that were made in heaven. Okay, so and one thing that I want to show too is the fact that the angels are not sons of God. Okay, so look at what it says in verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews 1. And just Hebrews in general talks about angels a lot, actually. The very beginning of this book is really just showing you the fact that, you know, that Jesus is better than the angels, and we were made a little lower than the angels. It's telling you a lot about the angels, but basically kind of comparing them to Jesus, or comparing the angels to us, and things like that. So they are a specific being. When we're talking about angels, but let me just read here verse 5 just to get the point across. They're never called children of God. They're never called sons of God. Because notice what it says here in verse 5. It says, For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. So the angels are never called sons of God. Now, that's important to understand, because what people are going to do is they're going to go into the Old Testament where it talks about sons of God. And they'll say, those are angels. It's ridiculous. It's not biblical. Sons of God, you know, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And he's saying specifically of angels, he never said at any time, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. You're like, well, that's talking about Jesus. Well, yeah, specifically it's talking about Jesus. But that idea of and I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son, that's talking about Solomon. Now, obviously, the the bigger picture there, the bigger prophecy of that is talking about Jesus and about the Son of God, right? We're adopted into the family, and we're begotten again unto a lively hope. We are begotten into the family, but obviously we're not the Son of God. We're not the only begotten Son of God. But when we're talking about the first begotten of the dead and being begotten, you know, being dead in trespasses and sins, and we're born again by the Spirit, that is how we become children of God. And angels are never that, never will be that. Notice what it says in verse, go down to chapter, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And I'll be getting more into the idea of what their purpose is, what were they created for, things like that in a different sermon. But the idea here is that Jesus is better than the angels, obviously. And the angels were made for a certain purpose, but they were never to be, they were never children of God. So what they'll do is they'll go to like places like Job, where it talks about the sons of God presenting themselves before the Lord. And they'll say, well, see, it's the devil. You know, Satan comes before the Lord. And it says, when the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord. That's talking about saved people. That's talking about believers that are presenting themselves before the Lord in heaven. And they're saying, well, those are angels. It's like, you're just going to make stuff up? Because where in the Bible does it say that angels are called sons of God? And you'll actually have versions of the Bible that will change that to say angels. And so that is something that, now, I do want to preface this with the idea that angel in the Bible sometimes can be used to be talking about a messenger, okay? Even think about evangelist, right? An evangelist, literally if you were to break it down, is someone that is bringing a good message, right? An angel is like a messenger, and you know, even in the song, you talk about the evangelical like type of thing. You know, think about evangelical Christians, is that what you're talking about preaching the gospel. And preaching what? Good tidings. Glad tidings, the good news, right? And so there are places in the Bible where angel can be referring to a messenger. Okay? And you have to use context to figure out, is this just a messenger or is this like an angelic, like heavenly creature, right? And so when you think about the angels of the seven churches in Asia, well, he's speaking to the angels of that church, and he's rebuking the angel, right? He's saying, I have a few things against thee, because thou suffers that woman Jezebel. So we're not talking about an angelic, like, heavenly creature, like a seraphim or cherubim or something like that. We're talking about the messenger of the church. So there are cases where you have to, okay, is this talking about a person that's just a messenger? Like an ambassador. We use the term like an ambassador, a messenger, and sometimes angel can mean that. But that gets into their job, okay? So why are they called angels? Because their whole job is to be a messenger, okay? But they're a heavenly creature that God created to do that, okay? So let's get into what, you know, what are we talking about when we're talking about creatures? Well, the Bible talks about two different creatures, and it calls them living creatures or beasts, okay? And I'm going to be specifically talking about the cherubims and the seraphims. Go to Ezekiel chapter 10 and verse 14. So what are these creatures, right? What are angels? Well, they're spirits, but they're also called living creatures and beasts. Now, beast in the Bible, when we're talking about beasts, usually when we think about a beast, it kind of has this connotation of being like, kind of like a, like someone, like a boar, like a wild beast, you know? But you wouldn't call, like, I don't call my wiener dogs beasts, you know? Be like, go feed the beast, okay? Usually when you're talking about beasts, you're talking about like a ferocious animal of some sort, right? But in the Bible, it doesn't use the term animal. So when you see the term beast, it's talking about an animal, right? It could be a wild animal. You know, it could be like a ferocious animal in some cases. But when you're talking about beasts, when it talks about like he saddled up his beast, you know, and went, and he's talking about like the ass or whatever. It's just, it's a term to mean like an animal, okay? And so I want you to see that they're called living creatures. They're called beasts. But what we're going to see here, what I want to kind of understand is that we're not talking about earthly animals, okay? There's a difference between creatures that are earthly creatures and creatures that are heavenly creatures, okay? And so in verse Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 14, for sake of time, you could read Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 10 to really get all the details about the cherubims. And I'm not belaboring that tonight, okay? Again, that kind of gets into my sermons. Like, yeah, we can read all about these guys, but can you really know exactly what these things look like unless you just saw them, okay? But in Ezekiel chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, and every one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub, and the second face was the face of a man, and the third face, the face of a lion, and the fourth the face of an eagle. And the cherubims were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river of Kebar. Okay, so, and in Ezekiel 1, you'll see that there was four living creatures that came up, right, and it basically talks about them. Now, the faces, the cherub, when it says a cherub, if you reference that to chapter 1, it's an ox, okay? So, the cherubims each have four faces, they have four wings, and they have calves' feet, and so it's like this living, it's basically kind of like a, you know, I don't want to say a hodgepodge, but it was kind of like a culmination of different animals, if you will. Has the hand? It has the face of a man, but it's a living creature. You know, when people are like, "Oh, we found this pig that looks like a man," it's like, who cares? It's not a human being, right? So what? They have a face that looks like, it's like, "Oh, this monkey over here kind of looks humanistic." It's like, that doesn't make it a human, doesn't make it a man, just because they look similar. It's like, well, you know, the cherubims, and one of the seraphims actually has the face of a man. That doesn't make him human, okay? What I want to make a very clear distinction is that angels and humans are two different types of creatures, okay? You know, there's different natures there. They're different, okay? And nor do they ever co-create or procreate, I guess co-create, create. That's where you get into people like, oh, the sons of God came down to the daughters of men, and then they had these like half-breed angel man creatures called Nephilim, and they just make up stuff. It's like, no, the sons of God are saved believers. So saved men went down to the daughters of women, meaning they weren't saved, and all the downfall of man was being unequally yoked with unbelievers. Shocker, okay? So you get into, if you don't understand what the Bible teaches on this, you get into some really weird false doctrine. But if you know from the very beginning in the New Testament that angels are never called sons, they're never called sons of God, and you know that there's a clear separation between the nature of man and the nature of an angel, and just as much as you cannot breed two different types of, like, basically nature type of creatures, okay? You're not going to breed a whale with, you know, like a crocodile. Just not going to happen. I know that's what evolutionists want. I don't know. Who knows if that's in their line? They'd be like, well, technically, we never said that they breed it together. It's like, but there are certain things that cannot go together. So, but anyway, go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. So we see that the cherubims are called living creatures. Now, we know that angels are spirits, right? Now, if you read those passages on the cherubims, what you'd find is that it talks about the spirit of the living creature is in a wheel within a wheel, and the wheel moves wherever this creature goes. You know, it only goes straight forward. So I picture the cherubims moving kind of like one of those sketch-etch things, you know, like where you, I guess technically you can go off to the side if you do move them both at the same time, but you know what I'm talking about, like kind of orthogonal, where they move like this. And so they only go straight forward. They have four faces, so they can see in all directions. They have eyes all over their wings, so they can see wherever they're going. So I believe that the way they move is kind of like lightning. If you think about how lightning kind of zigzags, and it does talk about them moving like lightning, and the fact that they move in this kind of like orthogonal type of pattern. So if they wanted to be right here, and they don't turn where they go, and so if they want to be here and they're over here, they'd have to go over here and come over this way. You know, so right here, they're down here. They have to go up. That's how they go. And you're like, wow, that seems like, you know, they didn't beeline it there, right? It's like, well, when you move as fast as lightning, you don't have to beeline it, do you? Because they're going to get there faster than if you went straight over there yourself. So anyway, I'm getting too far into the cherubims. Seraphims. Seraphims are very similar to cherubims. The difference with them is they have six wings, and each one of them has one face. But they each have a different face, right? So there's four of them that we'll see, and they each have a different face. Now, look at Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Okay, so you imagine he has six wings. Two are covering his face. Two are covering his feet. Two, he's flying, right? I don't know if that's how they do it, but essentially, they have six wings. The cherubims have four wings. And notice it states here in verse 3, it says, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, we're going to see these same creatures, okay? We see that they have six wings. They're called seraphims. Well, in the New Testament, they're brought up in Revelation chapter 4. Go to Revelation chapter 4. And if you remember, what are we talking about at the throne of God? That's what Revelation chapter 4 is dealing with. He's seeing the throne of God, and he sees these four beasts, okay? Doesn't call them seraphim, but we know from Isaiah chapter 6 that these are seraphims because when you see what they look like and what they do, okay? So in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Same faces as the cherubims, only they each only have one. Okay? So the cherubims, they all have those four faces. Okay? And then it says in verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So the same type of thing that's being said in Isaiah chapter 6. And what do we see here? The cherubims are called living creatures. The seraphims are called beasts. Now, I'll submit to you, I believe that's the same thing, okay? A beast is a living creature. It is an animal, essentially, okay? And so humans are never called, well, besides maybe reprobates, you know, brute beasts. But man is contrasted with beasts, okay? Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The thing that's interesting, and I don't know if maybe you've thought about this, maybe you haven't. Animals, earthly animals, when they die, the Bible says here that their spirit just goes down to the earth, downward to the earth. And I just want you to see that there's a difference between man and the beast. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, what Solomon's trying to state here is that we're the same as animals in the fact that we all die, right? That's kind of what he's getting at. It's like we all die, we all go to the dust, so we don't have any preeminence over a beast. He's just saying in the physical realm, we're all dying, right? The animals die, we die, we're all in the same spot, like in that category, okay? But there is a difference because it says in verse 21, Ecclesiastes 3:21, it says, who knoweth the spirit of the man that goeth upward and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? And, you know, later on it talks about the spirit of man that returneth unto God that gave it, okay? So beasts, animals of the earth have spirits, but they don't go to heaven and they don't go to hell. Angels, on the other hand, they go on forever, don't they? Here's the difference. You think about, like, you know, humans, animals, angels, okay? And the fact of there's the difference between these three. Like, you think about the earthly animals, they're not going, like, to hell to pay for their sins, okay? Angels, on the other hand, can leave their first estate, and they can go to a place of torment forever. How about the devil? The devil was the covering, the cherub that covereth, the Bible says. I'll get to him later. I'll do a sermon on him alone. And I'll probably do a sermon on like Michael and Gabriel. But the thing is that in Ezekiel 28, Lucifer, the devil, he was the cherub that covereth, okay? And go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. The devil will be tormented day and night forever and ever. There is a difference between the devil and Rover, your dog, okay? There is a difference between the devil and, you know, Bambi out there, you know, the deer that you shoot. There is a difference between that. And what I believe, what you're dealing with there is that you're dealing with heavenly creatures compared to earthly creatures, okay? So they're both kind of the beasts, animals, they're but one has an eternal, you know, basically they go on forever. But the other, now it doesn't say that they're a living soul, okay? So I'm not here to say like angels have souls, but they don't go out of existence. The angels that were created that don't fall, that didn't fall, they'll be there forever, and we'll be ruling and reigning over them. The fallen angels, they're going to be tormented forever and ever. That is a big distinction there. And I think that's just something that, I don't know if we, maybe you have thought about it, you know, but the idea that the difference between the fact that these living creatures are different than the earthly living creatures. And so, but they're also different from humans, right? They're different from us. So, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 here, it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So the devil, the cherub that covereth, right, he is going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Not just him, though, but all his angels that followed him, that he brought down with them. Go to Jude in verse 6. Jude in verse 6. So Jude in verse 6 says this, and you could also see something very similar in 2 Peter 2. But Jude, verse 6, it says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And it talks about how they'll be cast down into hell, all this, you know, in 2 Peter. Also, know this, is that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It says in Matthew 25, and verse 41, it says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So they will be tormented. The devils will be tormented forever and ever. They don't go out of existence. So there is a difference between, between, you know, the beasts on the earth today and devils, okay? Because they're in this kind of spiritual realm, okay? When you think about angels, they're more in these celestial. You think about there's a difference between a terrestrial body and a celestial body. You know, think of the term extraterrestrial. Well, terrestrial just means like earthly, okay? But then celestial means like, you think of celebrity, right? Celebrity is kind of like the star, you know, like, oh, the stars over here. Movie stars, celebrities, right? Celestial means heavenly, okay? So the angels are dealing with heavenly bodies, and then you have earthly bodies of the animals on the earth, okay? And so go to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. So I think that's one thing to know is that they're in the spiritual realm, and they can appear physical into the physical realm. Okay, but a lot of times they're not appearing in the physical realm, right? You don't just see angels, but sometimes you do. Times in the Bible, people have seen angels. And there's times in the Bible where basically there have been times where the prophet would ask the Lord to open the eyes of certain people so they can see it, like the chariots of fire that are upon the mountain and all of that, okay? So there are times where they can see that, but most of the time, we don't see it. There's this spiritual battles going on around us, and there's spiritual. James, get up off the floor and go back there where Mama's at now. So there is this spiritual realm that's out there that you can't see, But sometimes the Lord allows it to be seen, or the devil can manifest himself, or angels can manifest themselves to where you can see them. And but there is a big difference between men and angels. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Now, one, we're made in the image of God. Okay, man is made in the image of God. So there's that big difference there. Angels are not made in the image of God, though they would have a face of a man in some cases and things like that, or they can appear as a man. Because a lot of times when they see angels, they look like men. And it even talks about how the devil himself can be transformed into an angel of light. And so they can kind of transform themselves into looking like different, you know, people, stuff like that. They can obviously embody, you know, you think about the devils, how they'll embody, you know, they'll possess animals, they'll possess people and things like that. Another sermon for another day. But Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, I want you to see here that there's a clear distinction between the nature of angels and man. And in verse 14, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Notice in verse 16, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." Notice that clear delineation between the nature of angels and man, right? The idea there is that he didn't come to be made in the likeness of angels, right? He wasn't made. It says God was manifest in the flesh, but there's different types of flesh. There's the flesh of fish. There's the flesh of, you know, like there's different types of flesh that's out there. But we're talking about the seed of Abraham, the flesh of man, not of angels. And there is a distinction between those two. So when people try to say, well, let me just keep read the rest of that there, where it says, I lost my place. Hebrews chapter verse 17, "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." So when people are like, well, the devils believe and tremble, it's like, well, they don't have hope of salvation. He wasn't made in the likeness of angels. He wasn't the propitiation for their sins. He's not a faithful and merciful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the angels. It's for the sins of his people. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, because he came to be made like unto, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, because we are made in the image of God. And there is a huge difference between the nature of angels and the nature of man. And so when people are just like, well, you know, the devils, you know, it's like the devils believe, listen, the devils know that God is someone to be feared. They know that, and they fear and tremble before him all the time. And all that's being stated there is that if the angels do, and they're, listen, the angels are more powerful than us right now, and if they're afraid of God, you ought to be too. Like, that's what he's getting across, right? Just as much as when Jesus says, don't fear him that's able to kill the body, but it can do nothing else, you know, basically it's like, fear him that's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. He's not saying, fear him lest he cast you into hell. It's like, no, fear the more powerful one. Fear him that's more powerful, that actually, you know, that makes more sense, okay? So at the moment, though, there is a difference between men and angels. At the moment, angels are higher in power than us, okay? We're made lower than them. So go to Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5, okay? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5. And by the way, Hebrews 1 and 2, definitely believe we're talking about actual, like, angelic angels, like when we're talking about celestial angels, okay? And Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak." This gets into the idea that we're going to judge angels. Okay, I'll show you those verses in a minute, but he's basically saying he didn't put that under them. Like, their future is not to be ruling over everything. That's for us, okay? Because it says, "But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands." It says, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he hath put all things, for in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." See, Jesus was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, but it says in him is no sin. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And he was made in the image of man, right? The idea there is that he was made of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was found in fashion as a man, not an angel, okay? But in order for that, if that's true, that means he has to be a little lower. If we're a little lower than the angels, that means he had to be. Guess what? He was. He was made a little lower than the angels. And so right now, we're lower than that because we don't have as much power as the angels. I mean, can we go into heaven right now? Can we, you know, do we have the power to do what the angels can do in a lot of these cases? No, the angels are more powerful than us right now at the time being, okay? But go to 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2. So I hope you notice that I'm just using verses here. This is just what the Bible says. And you know what's funny, though, is how people with these doctrines, or with things like angels and devils, they have all these wild, you know, like, thoughts, but there is so much material. There's so much stuff in the Bible on this. It's not like there's nothing there. Like, I have to do a whole series on this just because there's so much information there to talk about and to get into. It's always funny when it's just like, oh, you know, have you read the book of Enoch? Well, have you read the Bible? Well, no, but have you read the book of Enoch? It's like, well, start with the Bible, you know? Like, why would you have to go to some other book if you've never even read the most important information that you'd have? Even if that was to be, like, if there was some other book out there that actually had true information about this subject, wouldn't you go with the main foundational source first? And so it's always funny to me. It's just like, oh, you know, I need to go over here to find about what the Watchers are talking about over here in Daniel. And I got to talk about the Nephilim and all these different things. It's like, just read what the Bible says and you'll find out a lot of information, actually. But here's the difference. The information that you get from the Bible is actually completely true. And you can fact check all this other garbage. So when someone says, well, the sons of God are angels, it'd be like, well, not according to Hebrews chapter 1. So next question. You know, I guess then you're wrong about all those passages in the Old Testament where it says sons of God. Instead of like, well, they have to be the sons of God have to be angels, so how do I make Hebrews fit? That's what they do. It's like, well, let's figure out why Hebrews says this. It's like, how about it never says that the sons of God are angels? If you had a verse that says the sons of God, even angels, right? You know, the sons of God, or also called angels, you know, like if you had a verse like that, I'd be like, okay, let's talk about this. But you don't. There's no verse like that out there. So, unless you're reading the Septuagint, by the way. So you want to get into some corrupt texts and see what that has to say, then go for it. Anyway, where did I have you turn? 2 Peter? 2 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignity." So what's the subject here? It's talking about the government, dignities, you know, things like that. Verse 11, "Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord." So he's talking about people that are in government, people that are in high authority, meaning men that are in higher authority. And all it's really saying here is that basically the angels are actually more powerful than them, but they won't bring railing accusation against them, right? He's kind of just making a point that basically even though they're more powerful, they still don't do that, so you shouldn't, right? Kind of the idea. But at the same time, we do see here that the angels are more powerful. Go to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. In the resurrection, this is going to change. Meaning this is that the angels right now, They're living creatures. They're spirits. They're spiritual, kind of celestial bodies and different things like that. Right now, they're more powerful than us, but that's not going to always be the case. And the big difference between them and earthly creatures is that the earthly creatures kind of, they have an end, right? They go on for their life and then they're done, okay? And then obviously mankind, our soul, will go on forever, right? You know, there'll be the resurrection of the just and the unjust, but there's either heaven forever or hell forever. There's either everlasting life, eternal damnation, right? And that's true. So the angels deal with that same type of thing, even though they're not made in the image of God, even though God didn't breathe into them a living soul. You know what I mean? Like, they're, so I'm kind of showing you the differences there, even though there are similarities. Okay. So in Luke chapter 20 and verse 35, you'll see this in other passages as well, but it's talking about the fact of being likened unto the angels. Luke chapter 20 and verse 35, it says, "But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection." Now, in another passage where it's talking about this, it says they are like unto the angels, right? So what it's stating here is that the whole premise of this question is like, who's going to be married to this woman that had seven husbands, right? And the whole point he's making is that you're not going to marry. In heaven, you're not going to be married, you're not going to be given in marriage, but you're going to be like the angels. You're going to be equated to the angels and the fact that they don't marry, right? They don't marry, they're not given in marriage, and neither will you, because you're going to be the children of God, the resurrection, right? There's going to be a difference there as far as how things are in heaven. But we're going to actually judge angels. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. By the way, Jesus, it says that he being made so much better than the angels, had the more excellent name than they. Obviously, he's the Son of God. But we're going to be like him, the Bible says. We're going to be, our body's going to be made like unto his. We're going to see him as he is. We're going to be like him. We're going to be heirs with Christ, joint heirs if we suffer with him. And so, that being said, is that I believe that same thing applies to us in the fact that we're going to be made better than the angels and we're going to have a more excellent name than they because we are the children of God and his righteousness was imputed unto us, okay? Not for our own righteousness, right? It's because his righteousness that that's going to be the case. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, "Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more are things that pertain to this life?" So it's basically, he's rebuking them because they're not dealing with situations in the church. And he's saying, you're going to judge the world. You're going to be judging angels. And can you not handle this? Right? It's kind of like, can you not handle these things right now that are going on in life when this is what you're going to be doing later? And right now we're made a little lower than the angels. But I believe, you know, we're going to be higher than them after the resurrection, okay? After the resurrection, we're going to have celestial bodies because that's what the spiritual body is, right? It says there's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. And there's a bit difference between the terrestrial body and the celestial body. And, you know, so that's going to be something that's going to be different after the resurrection. But as of right now, yes, they are more powerful, but they are different, okay? There's a difference between being mankind and angel kind. I don't think that's a term. Now, the question is, so, and again, you know, you say, well, this is kind of a crash course. Sure, okay. But what have we learned so far as what they are? Okay, well, they're ministering spirits. They're like a flame of fire. So you can think about, there's a lot of cases in the Bible where you'll see kind of like flaming chariots and flaming swords and things like that. So there's a lot of things dealing with fire and all that, okay? They're actually called living creatures or beasts. So they actually do have bodies and they're considered like animals, essentially, okay? So if you're going to think of them as far as, okay, they're not man, but what are they? Well, they call them creatures. They're living creatures. They're like an animal, okay? And so they're animals, but they don't just go out of existence when they die. Okay? Meaning this is that they don't really, they either are going to be with God in heaven or they're going to leave their first estate, which this already happened, obviously, the fall of the angels, right? Or they're going to be in hell where he prepared hell for the devil and his angels, okay? So there's a big difference between angels and animals, okay? And then you get into the fact of that they are more powerful than us right now. But there is a difference. We're made a little lower than the angels, but Jesus became one of us and was made a little lower than the angels to save us, not the angels. He didn't die for the angels, okay? It's very clear to state that. And actually, it talks about how the angels desire to look into it, right? In 1 Peter, it talks about that. And you may wonder, you know, what's that verse even talking about? It's like, well, he didn't come to be their savior. He didn't take on the nature of angels. And, you know, when it talks about the grace of God that brings salvation, you know, they desire to look into that. Or the Holy Ghost coming down and preaching the gospel. And I do believe the angels, which this is going to be getting into the more of the why, they do play a part in God obviously trying to evangelize the world. I mean, Cornelius is a great example of that. An angel came to him and called for Peter, but you never see the angel preaching the gospel. Now, the angel didn't just preach the gospel to Cornelius and be like, here's what you must do to be saved. No, he called for Peter. But he does play a part there, right? It's kind of like the messenger to tell you where to get the information from. Just as much as we play a part also when it comes to their salvation and the fact that how should they hear without a preacher? You know, the idea of us getting them saved and all that. So that's another sermon for another day. What about the when? When were they created? Now, this I don't know for sure, but I'm going to give you my thoughts, okay? I'll say this. I do believe they were created within the six-day creation, okay? That they were not there before the six-day creation. Now, go to Exodus chapter 20. Go to Exodus chapter 20. I believe all that was before the creation was God. In the beginning was God, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he created everything. And what I think what some people miss with this is what it says here. It says in verse 11 here, it says, so Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, it says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Meaning that everything that in them is, whether it's in heaven, the earth, or the sea, everything that's in them, he created in 6 days. Okay? That's the sun, moon, and stars. That's heaven itself as far as the all the creatures and everything that are there. This would be the celestial beings, everything. Okay? Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And then I'm gonna tell you what day I believe they were created on, okay? And you can disagree with me on this because it doesn't explicitly tell us, but I'm going to give you my thoughts on it, okay? And I actually meant to put some verses here to kind of also go with that, and I didn't, but I can look them up. I know where they're at, but Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? So we're talking about Jesus. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he's before all things, and by him all things consist. So when did he do that, though? Within those 6 days. He created heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and that includes everything in it. Okay, so where are the angels at? Well, I mean, a lot of the angels are just here on earth, right? They're going to and fro through the earth and all that, whether it's angels or devils, but they're also in heaven, okay? And so, you know, that being said, I believe it's very clear that he did. Now, the thing that I want to show you is that the devil, it literally states that there was a day in which he was created, okay? So go to Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 13. And this gets into another argument, but were there days before the 6 days? right? I mean, in the beginning, he says, let there be light, and there was light, and he separated the night from the darkness, and he called the light day, and he called the night, or he called the darkness night, right? So if someone wants to say, well, there was days before this, it's like, well, okay, like, you'd have to, like, go extra biblical and make up stuff to say, like, there was day and night before that, okay? So I don't want to get too deep into that. I think this on face value would show you that there was a day, one of the days of the six-day creation, the devil was created, okay? It says in verse 13, so Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 13, it says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. So was the devil created on a certain day? Yes. There was a day in which he was created. And what does the Bible say? Everything, whether in heaven and earth, was created within those 6 days. Okay? Then it goes on to verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. So he was perfect. When the devil was created, when Lucifer was created, he was good. He was good. He wasn't created evil. Okay? God didn't just create the devil like an evil person to vex the world, right? No, he created him, and he said everything. If you remember, at the end of 6 days, what did it say? Everything was very good. You know what that means? Is that the devil had not fallen yet. You know, at that point, you know, after he rested, and after that, obviously there was a point where he fell, right? And so that being said, is that the devil? There was a day in which he was created. The Bible says that everything in heaven was created, whether invisible or visible, right? Everything was created by him and for him. You know, Jesus created everything. And I believe that was in that six-day creation. Now, what day were the angels created on? I personally believe day four, okay? Now, let me show you. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. So let's see what happens, or what's created on the fourth day. It says in verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made also stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So the fourth day, it doesn't say sun, moon, and stars, but cross-referencing this, you can see that it's talking about the sun and the moon, right? It says the greater light and the lesser light. We're obviously talking about the greater light's the sun, the lesser light's the moon, and then you have the stars. This is something that, you know, there's a lot of verses on. I think about probably one of the most famous passages is the birth of Christ in Luke chapter 2 when it talks about all the heavenly hosts shouting and worshiping, right? And so what is being mentioned is that you'll talk about the host of heaven as the physical stars, like the planets and the stars and everything as the host of heaven. But then sometimes they'll talk about the Lord of hosts talking about his angels. And the equating of the stars and the planets to angels, there's a lot to be said there. I don't want to get too deep into this because I don't know how far, you know. Let me just dive into this just a minute, okay? When you look up into the sky, you see stars, but you also see planets, okay? Now, planets are obviously, you're getting the light reflected off the planet, right? Kind of like the moon. It's just the light reflecting on that. We're not flat earthers, by the way. We don't believe it's like a flashlight up there, okay? But if you think about, like, sometimes you'll be able to see different planets like Mars or Venus or different things like that, okay? The word planet literally means a wandering star. Okay? Can you think of a verse that talks about that? For example, in Jude, it says, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. Think about angels that wandered from their first estate. And the idea that there's this physical representation of what literally happened with the angels, like the angelic celestial beings, and the fact that you have stars that are fixed, right? Like the North Star and, you know, the Milky Way, or the Big Dipper and Little Dipper and all that stuff. Like, that stuff doesn't move, right? Now you're like, well, everything's stretching and all that. All right, you know what I'm saying, though. Like, you know, everything's, like, kind of moving out. But what I'm saying is that the moon's not always in the same spot, right? The planets aren't always in the same spot. They're orbiting and all that. They're moving, okay? So when you're dealing with, angels being equated to stars, this is something that happens in the Bible a lot, okay? So I personally believe that either they were created on the first day when it says he created the heaven and the earth, and it just like, boom, they were just in there, right? Because it says he created the heaven and the earth. But it says the earth was out form and void. I mean, I guess you could say, well, heaven wasn't. But the heaven was still not split up into different firmaments, right? You had the firmament where the birds were flying, but then you had the firmament where the sun, moon, and stars are at. So I believe the same time the sun, moon, and stars are being put there, that you have the angels that are being created there. Okay, that's my personal belief. You know, and you can fight me on that. I'm not going to fight you too hard because it doesn't exactly say, you know. But I just, you know, correlation with how it's often correlating the host of the sky, you know, of, you know, outer space, and they're correlating that to the angels. It just happens so often. It's, to me, it makes sense that that's when they were created, you know. Because you say, well, you know, well, why would they be created before that? Well, I mean, the animals were created before man. The sea, well, you'd be, ask me this, why were the sea creatures made before, you know? Why, you know, you could ask those questions all day long as far as like why they were created before or whatever. But all those creatures that were created before us, he made them for us to have dominion over them. And what were the angels, what's the angels' jobs, which we'll get into in another sermon, is the fact that they are made to be ministering spirits. They are messengers and ministering spirits, both to the Lord and to us. Okay. Now, Lucifer, the name Lucifer, is equated to Venus, okay, which is a planet that Lucifer is equated to when Venus can be seen at dawn, which is like kind of like this wandering star that could be seen. And you can see how people would think, well, you know, that's why the NIV puts a morning star there. It's like, that's not the same, okay? The bright morning star would be the sun of righteousness, okay? So that being said, that's another sermon for another day dealing with Lucifer. But I do think that that's interesting that, you know, wandering stars, the stars and all that. And there are cases where it says the morning stars rejoiced. It talks about the sons of God and the morning stars rejoiced and the idea of the stars being equated there and everything else. So getting deep with that, but yeah, well, you know, I did have a verse on this. Go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. Just to show you that they are likened unto the stars. The one I was thinking of, though, there's some in Psalms, and there's also, you know, other places where it literally talks about the host of heaven worshiping him. You could say that the literal physical stars are worshiping him, but I believe we're dealing with the angels, right? It says, let all the angels of God worship him, and you're dealing with them being equated to the stars, okay, or being likened to that. That also says that we're going to be like the stars in the resurrection, right? So just because we're kind of like likened unto them in certain aspects doesn't mean that we are them, right? You know, like people are like, well, you know, this person died, and now they're an angel. It's like, they're not a cherubim, okay? They're not a seraphim. You know, maybe they're a messenger, okay? You know, like, because obviously God can use, you know, obviously save people as messengers and all that. But Revelation chapter 12, dealing with the fallen angels, it says this in verse 3. It says, "And there appeared on another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." Now, you say, well, he actually took physical stars down with him with his tail. Or you could look down at verse 9, where it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So you have like kind of this figurative kind of representation of a dragon literally taking a tail and pulling stars down with them. That's representing the fact that the devil took a third of the angels with him. So the fallen angels, the devils, make up a third of, you know, the population of angels, I guess, you know. So I believe, you know, one, they're likened unto stars. And so, therefore, I believe they were created on the fourth day. I say this, even if that isn't the case, they were created on the 6 days. I think that's very clear. Everything that's in heaven, everything that's in earth, whether in heaven or earth or under the earth or in the sea, everything was created by him and for him, and they were created in those 6 days. All that in them is, right, was created by him and for him in those 6 days. And so that includes the angels. That includes Lucifer. That includes Michael the Archangel, Gabriel, everybody, okay? And so that's kind of the what and the when, if that makes sense. Like, what are these creatures? Well, they're living creatures. They're kind of like animals, if you will, but they go on forever. So there is a difference between these celestial. If you think about it, like maybe a celestial animal compared to a terrestrial animal. And so they obviously have some kind of conscience, like they can think and all that stuff. But there is a difference between them and man, okay? And the idea that obviously there's redemption for man. We're made in the image of God. He breathed into us a living soul. Like, there's different things there that are separating us. We're not called beasts. We're not called, you know, we're, you know, man. And that is something that's different there. And so, you know, I'm going to be getting into the why, you know, all that different stuff when it comes to you know, why were they created, what's their purpose, you know, where are they, you know, different things like that. But I'll probably be getting into, like, the who, like, who are angels, and the idea of obviously getting into a sermon about Lucifer, the devil, and all that, but also, like, Michael the Archangel. There's a lot of weird doctrines about Michael the Archangel. I mean, one of the most ridiculous one is that the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel, which is ridiculous, okay? But we'll talk about Michael the Archangel. What are they doing? You know, like, what's their, you know, there's stories in Daniel about Michael and Gabriel and about, like, there's this spiritual warfare that's going on right now. And that there will be a spiritual warfare, obviously, in the very end with Michael and the devil and all that. So, interesting stuff. But I do, as much as, like, obviously there's a lot of things that we don't know, there's a lot of stuff that it tells us, just to be honest. There's a lot in the Bible that just tells us about this realm that we can study. And listen, by the way, the half hasn't been told, but at the same time, there's a lot that's told, you know, like, when it comes to this subject. So, one may say, like, why do you care to study that? It's like, well, I care to study it all. What part of the Bible should I not study is what I would ask. And if you say, well, what's this going to be profitable? And I'm not saying anybody's saying this, you know. But, you know, what's the profit of going into this? Is this really what we need to know to live our lives? Well, anytime that there's doctrines that people twist, it's good to know what's the truth on that, right? The best way to combat these false doctrines about Nephilim and the sons of God being angels is just knowing what does the Bible really say about it. And you can just nip it in the bud. Literally, you could take someone that's about to spew out like an hour-long dissertation about their thoughts on angels and nip it in a bud and say, the Bible says, no man has said at any time, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee, or said unto the angels, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Boom. Deflated their whole argument. Right? Because now they can't go to Genesis 6. They can't go to Job. They can't go anywhere where they were going to take you. You just deflated their whole argument. And so, you know, I always look at this as far as sometimes where it may not seem to be that profitable, sometimes it can be very profitable with defending or at least defeating false doctrine. So I think it's interesting anyway. So, you know, sometimes it's just fun to look at things that are in that supernatural world and just see what the Bible teaches on it. So let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the souls that were saved today and throughout the week. And just pray that you be with us as we go out back into the workforce and all that this week. And just pray that you keep us safe, keep us healthy, be with those that aren't feeling well. Lord, we love you. Pray also in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brother Dave will come and sing one more song, and then we'll be dismissed.
All right, if you would take your songbooks and turn to song number 44. Song number 44 in your songbooks. We'll sing We'll Work Till Jesus Comes, if you would stand. We'll all sing song number 44.
O land of rest for thee I sigh, when will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home? Will work till Jesus comes, will work till Jesus comes, will work till Jesus comes, and will be gathered home. To Jesus Christ I fled for rest, when bade me cease to roam and lean for succor on his breast till he conduct me home. Will work till Jesus comes, will work till Jesus comes, will work till Jesus comes, and will be gathered home. I sought at once my Savior's side, no more my steps shall roam. With him I'll brave death's chilly tide and reach my heavenly home. Will work till Jesus comes, will work till Jesus comes, will work till Jesus comes, and will be gathered home.
You are dismissed.